One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Buddy, we've got a great one today, you know, for a change, and that's because Norm Ornstein joins us once again. Norm, of course, is in our pantheon of great guests, and I'm going to go right to him. But first, I want to urge listeners to tune in to Netflix for The Residence. It's an 8-episode murder mystery set in the White House residence, and it's great, and I'm in it. I play a senator. I know, not a stretch. I'm the chairman of a Senate committee that's investigating whether the death of the chief usher of the White House is a murder or a suicide. It's a murder. The chief usher runs the residence and ends up dead during a state dinner. Now, the first stage direction that describes my character is avuncular, uncle-like. So that's how I play it. But the White House wants the committee to find that it was a suicide, which it wasn't. So I'm really kind of a hack. So my character isn't me. I really had to dig deep to create an avuncular hack. Of course, I have a relatively small role, but the cast is full of great actors, led by Uzo Aduba, who plays the brilliant detective Cordelia Cupp. So check out The Residence on Netflix. You'll love it. And it'll take your mind off all the crap that's really taking place in the White House, which is exactly what Norm Ornstein and I discuss. It's a great one, you know, for a change.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now, Trump is expected today to sign an executive order to instruct Education Secretary Linda McMahon to begin dismantling the agency, which cannot be closed without the approval of Congress, right?
Correct. Exactly so.
So what's going to happen here? Is this a constitutional crisis on this one and the many other things that we're looking at?
It's certainly, you know, what I think Trump believes, and he now has some good reason to believe it, is that he can do anything he wants that's illegal, and there's a pretty good chance he'll get away with it. So he cannot legally dismantle the Department of Education? Can he, with his executive authority, screw up the department and render it impotent? Yeah, he can. My guess is he'll be doing that.
Well, that feels like chaos, though. I mean, that feels like chaos for the people in the department and for everybody who's being educated by through the Department of Education. I mean, this sounds like a nightmare for K through 12 schools, certainly, and for universities and just community colleges. I mean, I don't know how this works.
Let's talk a little bit about what the Department of Education does, as you alluded to it. One is almost all of the money that goes to kids with special needs in public schools comes from the Department of Education through federal tax dollars. So take that money away. And, you know, the Department of Education mostly just gives money out to state and local governments and school boards to manage some of the core functions that we hope for all of our citizens that would not be done otherwise in a whole lot of places.
And they do it for schools. They give extra funding to schools that have low income.
The school breakfast and school lunch program. And of course, we remember Tim Walz talking about that when Minnesota came up with enough money to give free breakfast and lunch to all public school kids.
Yeah, imagine that.
You wouldn't have, you know, separate classes of kids. But as he said, and it's true, kids don't learn very well on empty bellies. That'll go away.
I remember learning that, you know, poor kids are hungry when they show up on Monday.
I will tell you, one of the most interesting studies I've seen, Al, done a number of years ago in North Carolina. In North Carolina, the food stamps that come to people are not provided on a specific day. It's like a rolling thing. So some days you might get your allotment for the month on the 1st of the month, other days on the 15th of the month. And they did what was, in effect, a controlled study of kids. They looked at kids who had gotten their food stamps on a particular day and the next day or within a few days did tests in their schools. And then they looked at the same kids who were 20 days out in getting their food stamp allotment and also had tests, same kids. And the performance results were dramatically different. On a full stomach, they did well. On an empty stomach or a not full stomach, they did poorly. So we know how this works, and it's catastrophic. At the same time, the Department of Education runs the student loan program. So blow it up, and you're going to have a whole lot of people with student loans who are going to be in limbo or worse. It's stupid. But what I am also struck by here is apparently the reports suggest that when Trump does his photo op to cut the cord on the Department of Education, he will be joined by a group of governors, including Glenn Youngkin of Virginia and Mike DeWine of Ohio, among others. You know, the press continues to refer to Glenn Youngkin as a moderate. He is a radical right-wing Trumpist cult member, and we should never forget that.
He's over after this year, right?
He is term limited, but he will clearly want a position in the Trump administration. You know, he's not going away, sadly.
Let's move to something that's really just bothers me so much. It just makes me want to cry, is Trump abandoning Ukraine. I mean, when he, in that White House meeting, when he told Zelensky, you don't have the cards. Well, of course, the number one card is the U.S., right? Is the backing of the U.S.
Yep.
And he's basically telling them, you don't have us.
Well, it's, you know, it's even worse. He referred to Zelensky as a dictator. We know now that at least there are reports that Steve Witkoff, the negotiator for Trump, Don Jr., Jared, and others have been communicating with the opposition to Zelensky, trying to figure out a way to force him out. Jesus. Trump has said that if we're going to do anything for Ukraine, Zelensky has to go. We know that he despises Zelensky because Zelensky didn't fold.
Didn't go after the Bidens.
Didn't go after the Bidens.
After the phone call.
But we also know that while he called Zelensky, elected by a substantial margin, operating under Ukrainian law and constitution, which says in the middle of a war, you don't hold an election, calls him a dictator and refuses to call Putin a dictator, then says, I'm going to negotiate an end to this by sitting down with Putin and freezing out Zelensky, then tries to shake down Zelensky. You know, it's almost as if Trump is just taking direct orders from Putin. And whether that's because he just admires the strongman because he wants to emulate him, or because Putin has something on him, which is sadly plausible, it may not matter, because in almost everything that he's doing involving the world, in almost everything he's doing to foment division in the United States, it's a wet dream of Putin and the Kremlin that's being fulfilled. So we are no longer pursuing America's national interest. We're pursuing Russia's national interest in our name.
Now, of course, during the campaign, he said he would do this in one day. And the concessions he got from Putin were all things that he actually wanted to do anyway. You know, say you can't hit energy facilities, right?
Well, he wanted the beginning of a ceasefire on that and in other areas, but now he is trying to get Zelensky to agree to turn the energy facilities over to the United States. You know, what we know is, to whatever degree Putin wants a ceasefire, and he doesn't want a permanent ceasefire, and he doesn't want a long-lasting ceasefire, but he's, you know, his troops have been battered, his equipment has been drained. He wants a ceasefire. It's almost like a boxer who could be knocked out with you know, a little time left in the round, saying, wait, hold on a second. Let's just stop here. Let's take the break now before the round is over. Give me a few minutes and then we'll go back at it. So that's, you know, Putin. But Putin has also been clearly telling Trump, I'm not making any concessions here. If we reach a deal, it's because I get everything that I've taken, and I'll want an opportunity later to do more.
That seems clear from the way these are going, because there was nothing in the conditions that he put in that wasn't something that he wanted.
Yep.
So you think the U.S. looks like it will leave Ukraine entirely and leave it up to Europe, which I don't think is prepared. Europe and U.S. gave almost the equivalent. I think Europe gave a little bit more. But if you'd taken away 45% of Ukraine's weapons and other intelligence hardware and stuff, you're really leaving it vulnerable.
I'm hopeful in this sense. Europe is waking up to this reality. And they're starting to supply more weaponry. A key test for Europe is going to be whether they finally now take the $300 and some billion in Russian frozen assets that they have and turn them over to Ukraine. If Ukraine actually has the money, it can buy weapons. But this is a problem for the reason that you suggested, but also because so much of the weaponry that Ukraine has is American in nature, and whether you can continue to operate without the spare parts, without artillery specifically designed for those weapons, is another question. But what we're seeing is that Europe is stepping up to provide some of the more sophisticated weapons for Ukraine to use. And, you know, they may, if they can survive this for another few months, they may be at least in a somewhat better place. Before we end this topic, there's another interesting part of this. Trump has, of course, lied repeatedly and said, we've given Ukraine $350 billion and that they're supposed to pay it back. The fact is that it's closer to $100 billion, but we haven't given them money. It's American weapons manufacturers and American companies that are getting paid. 90% of the money stays in the United States. And if we stop doing this, that is going to be a serious body blow to an awful lot of American companies. And at the same time, what we're seeing is countries around the world, especially our European allies, are now canceling the orders that they have for American planes and American weapons, saying we can't rely on the United States. And they're either moving to ramp up to produce their own or buying from European suppliers or others. And so all of what Trump is doing to help out Putin is going to have a significant deleterious effect on the American economy and on industries populated by people who probably voted for him.
I'm wondering if can Ukraine buy American weapons directly from the manufacturers or not? I don't know.
They can, unless Trump puts a stop to it, which he can. He can probably put an embargo on that. But there are enough weapons out there in other places that, whether it's on the black market or given directly by our allies, he should be able to replenish his stocks.
Let me ask you, let's change the subject to these Venezuelan men.
Yeah.
Who were deported out of our country without any kind of due process, right? They and flown to El Salvador, where the dictator of El Salvador was very happy to put them in what sounds like a horror of a prison and put them to hard work for a year at least, but without due process. And the judge said, you, as these planes were taking off to go to El Salvador, said you have to come back. And that was a judge, that was a district court judge, ordering that, and they completely refused to do it.
You know, this judge, by the way, who Trump is now calling a radical left-wing judge.
Radical left lunatic is what
so
he's called.
So this radical left lunatic, he is among the most widely respected across the board.
And Trump called for his impeachment, right?
The key part of this is that Trump's lawyers basically defied the judge and used bogus legal arguments that would be laughed out of a normal courtroom, and they would be sanctioned under other circumstances for doing so. But then you get to the reality here that Trump used a 1798 law,
right,
that has only before been used sparingly in the middle of major wars, for which there is not one now.
What's the name of that act?
Well, it's the Alien Enemies Act, I believe.
Right.
We know that a number of these Venezuelan men who were spirited away and put on these planes and sent to this horrific prison in El Salvador on the pretext that they were members of a gang are not members of a gang. Some of them have tattoos that are innocent tattoos. And these ICE people just looked at, said, Venezuelan tattoo, you're heading to prison. We know that one of them is a celebrated Venezuelan soccer player who fled to the United States under death threats from the Maduro government and applied for asylum legally and has now been taken away. Trump is doing Maduro's dirty business, which ought to have some motivation for Venezuelan American voters who voted for Trump. We know that there are others who are perfectly innocent, and we know that at least one of them was supposed to be a hearing for his legal immigration status, and his lawyers only found out that he was headed to El Salvador when he didn't show up for the hearing, and they were notified. And his lawyers now say that repeated attempts to get in touch with their client have been rebuffed by this administration, which refuses to let out any names, allow family members to contact any of these men, and had one of them testify in court, one of the lawyers testify in court, that they know there are innocents among them, and they're just stonewalling it. The level of evil here.
Now, who was the lawyer who said that?
It was a Justice Department lawyer, yes.
A Justice Department lawyer?
Yeah.
Said they knew that there are some innocent men.
Yeah.
Among them. Well, that is unconscionable.
All of this is unconscionable. And, you know, we have other things going on that you know, you just look at one of the things in a related vein. A couple of weeks ago, we learned about a young British woman who had had a dream of doing a four-month backpack across North America, got a six-month tourist visa, was picked up by ICE and thrown in jail, and is still in jail. We know about a Canadian woman, here legally, picked up and put in horrific conditions in a jail, in a frozen cell, given a big piece of aluminum foil to use as a blanket. And she's written about this. She was in jail for, I think, at least a couple of weeks. Then we know about this French scientist coming here for a scientific meeting, stopped at the airport where ICE seized his computer and cell phone, went through them and found that he had sent emails that were critical of Trump for cutting medical research, and they deported him. So we have a French person, a Canadian person, a British person. It's as if they are under orders deliberately to choose people here, innocent people, here legally from our allies. So we're going to show our allies what happens when you decide not to blindly follow Trump as he sells out Ukraine and bolsters Putin and tries to blow up NATO.
Yeah, usually that's how you treat people from shithole countries.
Yes, right. Well, he's now broadened the list of shithole countries to include all of our closest friends and allies.
Let's talk about the shutdown that was avoided last week because Schumer decided to vote with the GOP.
Shameful.
Now, did he try to bargain for anything?
So here's what Schumer said in his really cringeworthy interview with Chris Hayes the other night. That he tried very hard to get the Senate Republicans to go along with a one-month, you know, straightforward continuing resolution so they could continue to bargain. That he tried very hard to take some of the rough edges off the really horrible continuing resolution, which is not really a continuing resolution, because the definition of that is that you're just continuing spending from the previous time. The House Republicans turned it into something where they cut a lot of good programs, and then gave Trump enormous leeway to rearrange funds within them. Patty Murray, the Democrat who is the ranking member of the Appropriations Committee and former chair of that committee, told Senate Democrats what a catastrophe it would be if this particular resolution were enacted, because it would give Trump basically the appropriations authority that Congress has. And Schumer talked tough for a little bit, I think, based on the hope that there would be a few House Republicans who will vote this down, would vote this down, and then he could look like the tough guy, but they would have to regroup and negotiate. And then when it passed the House and came to the Senate, and John Thune basically said to Schumer, take it or leave it, Schumer took it. And he got, you know, enough Democrats to join with him to overrule a filibuster that would have blocked it.
Mm-hmm.
First, he said, look, it's a bad choice and this is awful, but a shutdown would have been much worse. It would have lasted for 6 months or a year.
Now has a shutdown lasted for anywhere near that?
No. And the longest shutdown in Trump's first term was like 35 days.
Mm-hmm.
A celebrated shutdown that brought down Newt Gingrich ultimately in 1995 and 96 over those holidays lasted 21 days. Now, why don't they last? And why would it be ridiculous to imagine one lasting for 6 months? I'll just give you one core reason. What happens, and what Schumer said was fearful, is that a president in a shutdown is given the authority to decide what functions are essential and have to stay open, and which ones are not so essential that they, you know, endanger public safety or national security, and that the people don't have to come to work.
Do those people who are working get paid?
No, and that's the key point. Nobody gets paid during a shutdown. The past experience is that for the government employees, after a shutdown is over, Congress basically reimburses them for their back pay.
That is no solace to someone during that 35 days, 36 days, whatever.
Yeah. And the, and by the way, the contractors, which includes the people who clean the offices, the people who man the security desks, they almost never get repaid because, you know, the government isn't paying them. They're paying their companies that pay their employees, and they don't pay employees who aren't working. Now, with that, let's look at the reality of it. You're out for 30 days or 35 days. And for a lot of people who rely on their paychecks to pay for the rent or pay for the mortgage or pay for the food, that's awful. But, you know, people have managed to get by. Sometimes they have a little savings, or they can get a family to help or get even a bridge loan. Others have more trouble. But imagine if that goes on not for 1 month, but 6 months or longer. You're an air traffic controller, and you got to show up for work and you're not getting paid. Maybe you're going to get a part-time job at Starbucks to try and help put food on the table. Then you're working a full, you know, 60 hours a week as an air traffic controller, and you're working another 20 hours a week at Starbucks. Are we going to feel good about having that person, you know, avoiding taking a nap or falling asleep while trying to move these planes around? Some of them, a lot of them are going to quit.
Sounds like a plot from Breaking Bad or something.
Yeah, it sure does. And we know that when people quit, because at minimum, in a lot of places, they're going to be able to go on unemployment and at least, you know, be able to pay some bills, or they're going to look out for and find other jobs. And for the ones working in these essential areas, they may be able to do just that. You're not going to be able to bring them back. We will have chaos out there. The TSA people are going to look for other jobs. They'll quit. And we're going to have, you know, at minimum, huge lines at airports and people getting up in arms. There's a reason why shutdowns end up with a huge public backlash after a while.
So who gets the blame for that? Does if the Democrats vote to shut it down, do the Democrats get blamed for it or do the Republicans get blamed for it?
I was critical of Schumer before he made this decision, which I believe has, you know, deeply divided Democrats even more, created an enormous backlash, made Democrats look weak, and they will be exploited for that. But Democrats in unison should have been saying long before this, Republicans have the majority. The Republicans have the House. They have the Senate. They have the White House. Anything that happens here is their responsibility. And if they had said, we tried to keep the government open, they did something unreasonable, and that's not going to happen, then you have to go out there and aggressively make the case that it's the Republicans' fault.
It would be our media versus their media, though. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Well, you know, look, one of the things we have to do more generally is build a better media and build a better communications outlet. But after a while, it becomes clear that even if it was Democratic votes that triggered a shutdown, it's Republican votes that could bring them back and end the chaos. And they're not going to do it. So eventually they will have to do it. I'd rather have the pushback when we see what happens with Trump as president and radicals running the House and Senate and a take it or leave it posture. And people begin to see what government actually does for them when they see what it's not doing, then have capitulation, which is what Chuck did.
Pelosi said that she never gives something up without getting something. Yeah. And Schumer didn't do that. You're saying he tried.
Let me go back to his interview with Chris Hayes and some of the things that he said more regularly, which includes that, you know, now he's confident he'll find Republicans he can work with. And he talks to them in the gym all the time where they can be more candid because everybody's working out and they don't have their clothes on. Schumer is living in a world that no longer exists. It's like because they're friendly to you in the gym, that it's going to translate into civil behavior and constructive behavior through a bipartisan fashion in what the Senate does.
And the Republicans are terrified about being primaried with Musk money behind your primary opponent.
And about threats to their well-being and the lives of their family. But yes, but what we know, and you know this very well, some of these Republicans in the Senate can be lovely people you'd love to have dinner with, can view as friends, but it has no impact on how they behave as senators in a fashion that fits with the Trump cult, and there is no pushback whatsoever. So if you're lulled into believing that because somebody is a nice person with a good family and you can go out to the movies with them or have dinner with them, that absolves them of responsibility for their heinous behavior, you're living in a world that you shouldn't be living in, and that's the last thing we need.
I wouldn't go to a movie with a Republican colleague, but I would have dinner with them.
Yeah.
If there was a screening of something and both parties were invited, I'd go.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good distinction.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break for a moment. We'll be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So what is next? Aren't we looking in the future of a reconciliation bill?
Yeah, the next big shoe to drop in Congress and domestic policy, other than this, you know, ridiculous attempt to blow up the Department of Education, this sending in goons, including the D.C. police, sadly, to take over and invade the U.S. Institute for Peace, this blowing up of AID. You know, it says something about the Senate that Marco Rubio won his confirmation unanimously and now has basically eviscerated AID, which will cause millions of additional deaths. But put that aside, the next big thing is the longer term spending and taxing authority that doesn't require overcoming a filibuster, that can be done with all Democrats voting in unison under what's called reconciliation. And that's looming. We don't know exactly when, but within the next couple of months.
So that reconciliation bill, Republicans could pass themselves.
Yeah, they're going to obviously have near complete unity in the House, and they could get by with all but three in the Senate.
And none of those Republican senators are going to vote against it, right?
If any one of them does, it's knowing that it'll pass anyhow. That's part of the deal from the past. Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, you can vote however you wish unless it would make a difference. And then, as we saw with Brett Kavanaugh, you better toe the line, as Collins did.
And Mitch McConnell, of course, has voted against a few of the nominees for cabinet positions, right?
Right. This is governmental Macbeth. Out, out, damned spot. I will try to absolve myself for what I did to enable this guy to come back and be president by casting a few negative votes. Will I vote against a continuing resolution that's terrible? No. Will I vote against reconciliation? No. Mitch McConnell will be with him on everything that matters.
Yep. Okay, well, thanks, Norm.
I'm glad I could make you and all of our listeners feel better.
Is there anything to make them feel better? I don't think so.
Well, for all of us from Minnesota, the Vikings are doing pretty damn well in the offseason. That's one small thing. More broadly, we can
that's
hope.
Me too.
Yeah. We do have some state attorneys general who are, you know, pushing back through the legal process. We've got some private lawyers and others who are pushing back, also using the law, and in some cases, you know, trying to prevent our elections from completely being destroyed. And there's a real possibility here that they will go too far and that they've gone too far, that not only are we seeing prices go up instead of Trump's promise that egg prices would come down in a day, but we're also seeing a public that's starting to realize that they're serious about going after Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, the safety net, doing things that are impinging on people's daily lives. Veterans who have been a mainstay for Republicans and Trump, seeing how they're being treated, that we'll see a public that at one level moves away enough voters from this idea, government doesn't do anything for me, who cares if we blow it up, to understanding that there's a real purpose to government to protect them. And maybe over the long run, we'll get an ability to reconstruct the Democratic Party in a majority that is able to communicate better with people. And
well, I think the Democratic Party is in real trouble because, you know, you look at Trump taking a hit in polls and it's like, well, now he's down to 46%.
Yeah.
Something like that. But where are Democrats at this point?
Not in a good place. And divided. And, you know, that's a good part. What Schumer did not only was mistaken as a strategy, but it's unleashed an even greater level of acrimony and internal bitterness within the Democratic Party, demoralized a good portion of the base, created a story about recriminations within the party that's taken some of the heat off of Trump for his comments and disastrous moves. But we got a problem getting a base that stays focused and understands that it has to show up at the polls, no matter what obstacles they put in place in 2026. And we got some work to do. And we have some work to do to create a better frame for policies.
There's a poll on April 1st in Wisconsin that's very important. The Supreme Court justice there, it'll decide the balance of the court. And that's a crucial one.
The Republican is a horrible person and a, you know, clear partisan hack. And it would be devastating to Wisconsin and ultimately to the country if he won.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Norm.
Thank you, Al. Have a good day.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening. That beautiful music is by Leo Kottke, the great Leo Kottke. I want to thank Peter Ogburn for producing this podcast. We'll talk again next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.